Williams. Been my privilege to introduce Brother Williams to you this morning. I have known Brother Williams for a number of years and have been always greatly encouraged by working with him and knowing him. 1994, Brother Williams came up from a little town of Moss Point, Mississippi, to attend school at International Bible College. He left there and went to work with the Mayfair Church in Huntsville with the inner city ministry. Left and went into his field that he is well equipped to serve as assistant chaplain at Limestone Correctional Facility, working under the oversight of the eldership at the Northwest Church in Huntsville. Served in that capacity for 13 years, working, of course, under Chaplain Baggett. And for the last 4 years, he has served as the chaplain at Limestone Correctional Facility. As I say, he is very enthusiastic. I enjoy working with him. He is a special person to me, and I look forward to his presentation he will be giving us for the Sunday school hour and then also the gospel lesson at the worship hour. And without any delay, Brother William, this year's.
I am truly excited, elated, to be here with you this morning. I certainly hope and pray that you will learn something. Let me say this and put it this way. I'm just going to stir up what you already know. I probably won't say anything that you have not already learned here at this fine congregation. I want to thank the leadership of the elders, the deacons, and all of you for having me over this morning. And what I want to discuss with you is the subject of brotherly love. Brotherly love. Okay. Let's just open our Bibles up to the scripture that you see on the screen this morning, Hebrews chapter 13. Let's see here. Now, I hope this is on already. Hebrews chapter 13. The love of the brethren. And the verse says here that let brotherly love continue. Now, in looking at this, I want you to think about who is your brother. Who is your brother? As we know, during that time that the Jews only considered themselves as brethren, but Jesus teaches us some profound things about who is our brother or who is our neighbor. And we understand that as far as the story of the Samaritan or the Jew that was helped or aided by the Samaritan. In turn, he came and dressed his wounds and binded him up and put him on his own donkey and took him to the hotel where he paid his fees to show that kind of brotherly love. So, whoever you can aid or help or assist in this life could be considered your brother. And now he tells us here in this verse here to continue in that. Continue. Never leave, never depart that way. Now, my thing here is, who are those that we must continue to love? To show this grace, this mercy, this kindness to that is needed in our society today. I was talking to a missionary this morning from Liberia, and he was sharing with me about the neighborhood, the village concept, which we all should be aware of, where the village protects the neighbor, the one that's next to him, where we don't we have gotten away from that kind of thinking where, hey, I don't know my neighbors, they don't know me, so we just don't know each other. But yet, there in that village, if someone is practicing evil, they let everyone in the village know that this individual is not a good person. And that individual will no longer stay in that village if he continues his evilness. Well, look at the scripture here in Revelations chapter 13 there with me. Let me get there right quick. And watch what he says. He said, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain who? Be not forgetful to entertain who? Strangers." Now, who is the stranger? Someone that we invite into our home, someone we take care of, someone we minister to. That's showing love towards that individual. Even though we don't know the person, yet he's a foreign missionary who's come to this country. We invite him into our home. And even like this morning, when he destroys everything in your home, I had this brother, he's at Northwest speaking this morning, and he was taking a shower, and had this mantelpiece up, and he used it to support his weight and tore the thing completely down. Completely busted all my whatnots, gifts that had been given to me. Oh, wow, just made a complete mess. Will I stop loving him? Will I stop entertaining him? Will I stop taking care of him because he came in and did something that was destructive? No. Understand, we must continue in loving that individual no matter how much he damages those little things that we have. That's brotherly love. And that's what the writer is asking us to continue to do. No matter what misunderstandings, we continue to love. No matter the challenges that we face, we continue to love. And that's what we need to do as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Sometimes people get all confused and all upset over the simplest little things. This is the reason why that old proverb or that old saying said we make mountains out of molehills. It is simply because we won't continue or stay within the love that we should have for one another. And in turn, if we don't stay there, if we don't continue in that, it creates a divide that separates brothers and sisters from one another. No matter what your opinion is about things, minds may be totally different. You may be an Auburn fan or an Alabama fan, whatever you are. The main thing is continue in love, continue to entertain, continue to host people that are different from different cultures, backgrounds. And do that out of love. Listen at the rest of the scriptures there. Will someone mind reading that for us? He says, remember them that are in bonds. Remember them that are in bonds. That's prison, folks. And since I'm a prison chaplain and work with these men all the time, we should have a heart for those men. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talks about that. Those who were righteous stayed in contact with those who were incarcerated. But yet he talks about many other things. Continuing in love is visiting the sick, clothing those who are less fortunate than ourselves, doing those things. I want you to understand this, as we will see later in the lesson this morning, that love speaks in actions and just not in words. Do we understand that? I can say that I love you, but yet if you don't see the results of the love that I have, then what's the purpose of saying I love you? You need to see that in action. You need to see me putting forth the effort, the energy to show you how much I care about you. Each husband here has to show his wife. Each wife has to show her husband. Each child needs to show the mother, the father, as well as the mother and father show the child. Remember those who are suffering. We do that by putting love in action. Let's go to the next slide. John 15:12 says, this is a commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. As a topic, the issue of love cannot be ignored or denied. It is a command. It is a biblical command, and we must honor that command. Look at it, my friends. Look at it, my brothers and sisters. The extent of love finds its definition in the following passages. Just from that scene right there, we see what the passage will say. Greater love has no man than this, than that he lay down his life for a friend. Jesus was willing to go to the ultimate point to show his love to each and every individual here today and to all the world. I mean, we cannot deny that fact. Christ is the only true example of what love is. Christ gave him his life for those who were and who would become his friends. That's you and I. And he said, just prior to the previous passage, we just need to look. Understand, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produce much fruit, because you can do nothing, absolutely nothing, without him. I wonder how many of us, if we didn't realize what Christ had done for our lives, would practice love. Literally, practice it. How many of you would show the kindness of Christ Jesus if you didn't realize that this is commanded by God? How much division would be in this body here alone if we did not love one another, care something about the gospel itself, to make that commitment to love no matter what the circumstances are? It is seen in the death of Christ Jesus himself. Why is this important? Let us examine the past of Galatians. Be the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's all about what we practice, my brothers and sisters. God is love. that if we abide in him, we can bear much fruit, and no fruit if we do not. Bearing fruit. His love in us. His love for us. That fruit is love. It is the kind of love that exceeds just human admiration, human appreciation. It is far greater, more defined, and more profound than anything else in our society. If we look at our society as a whole, we don't see love. All we see is chaos. That's what's represented in the world today. That's what stands out. That is what is reported on your television screens, in your newspapers. It's nothing about love. Jesus is all about us producing fruit, love in our lives. That's what he's about. And that's what he wants you to be about. And if you are not producing, then you are not of him. Now, I don't like just sitting up here talking, so if you want to raise your hand and interact, I want you to interact with me because you may be able to teach the teacher something. But we need to understand the nature here of fruit. Fruit is the natural result of something that is living, is fruit of life. Fruit. It is alive. It's growing. If you see a tomato, and as long as it's green, it is growing. But as soon as you see that first red spot on it, what has transpired? As soon as you see the red on it, what's happening to that tomato, class? It's ripening, right? It's ripening. And when it's ripening, what begins to happen? What is happening? It is dying. When it gets so ripe, it's good for nothing, is it? No putting it on a hamburger, kids. No slicing it and putting it on a hamburger. It's mushy, the life that is in it is fading. And that's what we're trying to get you to see here this morning. As long as we are growing and loving, we will produce the kind of fruit that Christ expects of us. As long as we are growing, grow in love. Listen. When something does not bear fruit, it is either in the process of dying or already in the state of death and decay. No. What a wasted life when we don't love. We're wasting our lives when we don't have brotherly love, when we don't continue in brotherly love, when we don't practice what Christ has commanded us to practice, we are dying or dead. And that's something none of you should want. But yet we see ourselves in this dying world as it decays before our very eyes. That's what we see. That's what's happening in society everywhere, is that it is dying because there's lost, there's love.
Jesus talks about the fig tree in Matthew chapter 21 and 19. As he was coming by, he went looking for fruit, and there was no fruit. When they came back the next day, that tree was dead. When we don't produce, when we don't love, we die. It's that simple. I don't even like the thought of dying spiritually. I don't even like that thought, because I see, again, the world decaying around me. I see it every day. I walk into the prison and I realize some of those men who have totally lost their soul, their spiritual life to things of this world. When we don't produce, when we don't love, we die. We die. It's not just an emotion. You know how we get emotionally stirred and emotionally elated, happy, joyful, but this kind of love is not based on that. It's not based on that. Let's move on. It's more used as a verb. Love worketh no evil. Neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law of God. Loving your neighbor like you love yourself. I've often wondered about that. At one of my depressed states, I mean, I was really just like going downhill. And one of the brethren at the church came to me and he said, James, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You know, he could see and he was witnessing to me that he saw a difference in my attitude, in my disposition. And he quoted this scripture. How can you say you love someone when you don't love yourself? Love your neighbor like you love. Huh? So if I don't care anything about me, how can I say I care anything about you? If I don't take care of me, and I'm not talking about being selfish, I'm talking about offering you something to love. When you can love me and I can love you, then we can share in the spiritual blessings that God has given us. When we look at others' need more than we look at our needs, then we're more willing to help one another. We're more willing to share with one another. If that brother wouldn't have came to me and said, James, you got to care something about you in order for me to care something about you. Correct? If I don't care, if I'm letting myself fall to pieces, that literally means I'm dying, church. If I'm letting the depression of the world, of this society, get to me, that says I'm dying. If I get all depressed and upset because of some event, a tragedy, that I'm not saying that we don't get upset when tragedy comes, but yet we know that we have to continue to love, to grow, and sustain our relationship with God. We have to do that. I have to continue to practice. Must continue to stay in love. And that literally means you have to offer me something to love. And I have to offer you something to love in order for us to stay in love. It's not just saying, sister, I love you. It's putting forth effort and actions to prove that I love you. not just a word, a noun, but it is a verb that's active and alive. It realizes that its joy doesn't come from the world. It comes from God. That's the love I'm talking about. It's when we can truly love each other. Love fulfills the law. This is and was the key to what God through Christ did for us. Fulfill the law. When the law was fulfilled, what came about? Anybody have any idea what came about when Christ fulfilled the law? Mercy? Do y'all understand? Without Christ fulfilling the law, there would be no grace and truth for us. There would be no salvation. It would only be hopelessness, decay, rot. I know that's pretty vivid to some of you all, but look what is left where there is no love. Understand that picture. Hopelessness, decay, rot. That's all you have if you don't have love. Love stimulates. Love creates growth in our lives. So when Christ fulfilled the law, he showed us by a living example what it meant to be a friend to the hopeless. That was us. To show love and grace and mercy.
I love this little word here. For God so loved the world. Literally carries the idea to that extent, to that degree. That's how much God loved us, that he was willing to sacrifice our Lord and Savior Jesus on our behalf. He was willing to give up his very best for us. That's the reason why the Philippian writer writes in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant. The scripture goes on to say he became obedient to death, the death of the cross. Christ paid the ultimate cost to show us how much he loves us. I don't know about you, but that's profound to me that someone would sacrifice, especially God, coming down from heaven to this wicked world, emptying himself of his glory, come down here and show me how much he loves us. God was willing to give the very best he had for each of us. The question I must raise now is, what are you willing to give? Are you willing to respond to the love of Christ as Christ responded to each of us? Are you willing to give up and make the sacrifice and continue in this kind of love that you may know the love of the Father? this kind of love gives life. Notice again, love was action. It wasn't just saying I love you. It was put to the test. He showed us how much he loved us. What a great sacrifice. Look at the beautiful section of Scripture. These passages of love from 1 John 4. He says, "We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us." What is God? God is love. And the one whom remains, love remains in God. And God remains in him. See, you can't have God unless you love. He is the action. Yes. Amen. You know, just relating back, as it is a continuous state, as the Hebrew writer teaches us. And we continue in that state by showing hospitality, by visiting those who are in bonds, by weeping with those who are suffering. You know, if it doesn't affect us personally, then we don't feel the pain sometimes, but yet, when I see about the horrors that are happening in our world today, innocent people being killed for no reason whatsoever, these things doesn't affect you? Do you not care about those people who have lost loved ones, who have suffered these tragedies? Our love for one another should be outreaching. Shouldn't just be confined to us who are here today. And a lot of times we want to stay confined within the safety of our buildings and not love those who are less fortunate than ourselves. You know, I know you all have a great mission work. Y'all are doing many good things, but yet, brothers and sisters, we must understand that we have to continue in love. And these scriptures express that. I like verse 18. There is no fear in love. No fear. No fear. You know, when I was a young child, one of my greatest fears was dying. But I know now that I have no reason to fear death if I'm faithful to God. Revelation 2:10, as a brother has quoted. No fear of God. No fear of consequences, because that love that we have is growing and active in our lives. So let us not fear. Move on. Let's look at what love is defined. The primary Greek word, as you all already know, like I told you, agape. Just understanding that term, which literally means love feast. It is wholehearted, unconditional, devotion.
Isn't that what the Scriptures teach us?
To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's with my entire being. And then to love thy neighbor like thyself. Isn't that unconditional? You don't have to give me anything, nor do I have to give you anything. We don't have to be the best of buddies, but because we practice love, we put it to action, test it to see whether it's true. Test it. Try it out. Allow me to love you. I'm going to allow you to love me. Not just saying, but it is doing. Unconditional love. How much time do I have? About 9 minutes. Want to make sure I stick with the time. But this is the key that we have. The command to love is simple. The doing of it is always so. This is my command. This is what I want you to do. Is to love like God loved you. How far was he willing to go, church? How far was he willing to go? To the cross. Oh, what a most miserable scene. The horrors of going to the cross. I know many of you all have read that story. How he was ridiculed and slapped and beat up on. And then made to drag his own cross. So heavy. Every time I think of that picture, how he gives in to the weight of it. Why did he give in? What was going on? The sins of the world, your sins and my sins, were up on his shoulder. Why did he not just let us all perish and forget about us? Why? It's all because of the love he had for us. That's why we have hope this morning. We have hope this morning. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you appreciative that you know that God loves you to that degree? Well, I'm thankful. So we must obey. It does not mean because he loved us, but as he loved us. Absorb that. Because he still does. He's still loving us. In other words, we must love in the same way, in the same manner, with unconditional, wholehearted devotion to God. We can't substitute that. We must continue in love. Oh, yes, I thought about Isaiah 53. Yes. That's how much God loves us. Like a lamb to the slaughter, he loved us. And we who are Christians must continue that love. We have one more slide, and then we're going to end the lesson this morning. We all know these verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. That's love. That's the kind of love God wants us to practice. That's love. Therefore, I want to continue to encourage you to love like God loves you. May God bless you all.